Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Section 10 podcast. Here are your hosts, Jared Carabas, Pete Blackburn, and Steve Perrault.
The A's are rushing the field. It is a mob scene to the left of the pitcher's mound as Sean Manaea, in his first ever complete game, pitches a no-hitter against the team with the best record in baseball, the Boston Red Sox.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
What's up and welcome back to the Section 10 Podcast, episode 163, presented by Barstool Sports. It is the home of your 17-4 first place Boston Red Sox. I am your host, Jared Carabas. We're waiting on Coley. Don't know where he is as far as the world is concerned. Don't know where he is. We got Steve in the house, and I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm pretty tired right now.
I'll give you credit that to start that show, I didn't think you were going to have that energy the first 5 seconds.
Because I'm digging deep.
Just to give you, to paint the picture for you guys, Jared is burnt to a crisp.
Yeah, my fucking face is so, like,
He came in off the elevator and it was like, you know, the Kool-Aid guy was walking into the Barstool office.
My forehead hurts so much.
Yeah.
Like, I showered this morning and it was like, it was one of the most, it felt like I was tattooing my fucking face. It was not a very pleasurable experience. We flew out Friday morning. And last night we flew, I think it was like a 10:40 flight out of fucking San Francisco.
That sounds right.
And then we got in 7 in the morning Eastern time. I didn't get back to my apartment until 9, and then I napped for like a couple hours, and now I'm here.
Yeah. Did you see Pablo at all before you left?
No, I tried. I tweeted him. I tried to get some restaurant recommendations, and I tagged him in it, and he didn't respond.
There are a few things worse than a sunburn that just takes over your whole face, because then your entire head is just on fire.
Yeah.
And that's what it looks like right now. It looks like your head's on fire.
Yeah, my fucking head, it hurts a lot. I would like some aloe. Maybe I'll get some aloe at some point during the day. Because I'm in pain as I'm speaking to you. That's how much my head fucking hurts.
It looks like that, too. But we'll jump right into it. What's your immediate reactions from the trip?
There's just a lot that happened. Like, there were some good things, there were some bad things, a lot of really cool things. I don't even really know where to start. Like, when we got there on Friday, you know, we went to the game, and it was just another day at the office. Red Sox losing 3-0, 3-run home run, Jackie Bradley Jr. to tie it. Mitchie Two Bags comes up, grand slam to win it. And the whole time, filmed like the whole thing. So we basically were working on a documentary of my first time on the West Coast.
Documentary.
And I was going berserk after the Mitch Moreland grand slam because I called the whole game. Like, when they were down 3-0.
For a second, I thought you meant you physically were like, the pitch.
No. When Drew Pomeranz gave up 3 runs, I was like, this is what he does. Like, he's going to go. He was at like 50 pitches through 2 innings. I was like, this is exactly what he does. He's going to give you 4 innings, but he's going to hold them to 3 or 2 runs. This is what Big Smooth is, baby. He's going to give you 4 strong innings of 3 earned runs or less. Like, that's the definition of Big Smooth. And what he ended up doing, I was like, when they were down 3-0, I looked at the camera and I was like, the Red Sox are still going to win this game by a lot of runs. I was like, I know it looks bad now because Pomeranz looks like trash, but he's bend, don't break, and the Red Sox offense is just too good.
And that was the scene of the crime from his little outburst with Farrell. So I don't know if that lit a fire. It clearly didn't really light a fire under his ass for this start. But
yeah.
His first start back, you got to cut him some slack.
Yeah, I cut him some slack. You know, I think he only made, what, one rehab start, maybe two?
Yeah. So it's like, and if you're going to have a start, you know, as the first one back, I think in Oakland is a good place to do it, where half the Red Sox fans probably didn't see it.
And he's familiar with the ballpark, you know, having been in Oakland A before. By the way, I mean... Shout out to the A's for the accommodation. They hooked it up. They took great care of me. But the only thing I was thinking the entire time when I was like going up and down like the clubhouse and like the runway to get to the field, and then Saturday morning we got up early and me and Dallas filmed like a bunch of skits on the field. We did a bunch of those.
They gave you guys some good access.
We went everywhere. We did one in like the outfield. We did one where like I'm taking batting practice. We did one in the dugout. We did one in like the like going down the hallway. By the way, one of the coolest fucking parts about that was we were walking around like the back area there, and I was like, that door goes to the clubhouse. And the guy was like, how do you know that? And I was like, I seen Moneyball. Yeah. Like, the fuck. And I guess...
they just use the same... Because sometimes with those movies, they won't use the actual...
Yeah, they didn't. So...
Okay.
Because once I went in the club, I was like, I recognize this hallway. And I was like, that's got to be the clubhouse, right? And he was like, yeah. And then we went in the clubhouse... And on the left-hand side, there's like two swinging doors. And I was like, that's the break room. It's like, that's where Scott Hatterberg became the best first baseman in Oakland A's history. Like, this is it. But I guess what they did, there was one hallway where they actually did film Moneyball. Yeah. And then they kind of went in the clubhouse, took pictures, and recreated it. But, I mean, it was very accurate to what the real A's clubhouse looked like.
I was gonna say, I didn't know if you saw the vending machine where the players had to pay the money.
Oh yeah,
still that there.
They got the vending machines there. So Saturday morning we filmed like a bunch of skits. I think we'll probably be releasing them one by one, but they're very funny. We came up with some pretty funny ideas for those, so I'm excited to see how they get put together.
Yeah,
one of them is very ironic too, by the way. I don't know if I should give away the surprise.
No, that's... People like being surprised.
Okay, all right, I won't give away the surprise. One of them is very ironic that we did it on that morning.
But real quick, on that stadium, what is it? Is it still like the Coliseum or whatever?
Yes.
Okay, I hate watching Red Sox games that are played there, just from a at-home perspective. It just looks so shitty, and I understand it's a football stadium too, mm-hmm. and that contributes to it, but... It just doesn't look like you should play baseball. The lighting's not great.
No, and then like if you're sitting behind home plate, the sound only comes out of a speaker that's like way up in right field. Like there's one speaker and it's like where the fucking the stadium lighting is, where the scoreboard is.
And it just talks down on the whole field?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. But yeah, like when we were shooting the video Saturday morning, we were like walking along like the outfield track and you look at... the seats that the bullpen guys have to sit in, and like the seats that we're sitting in right now are like 10 times better than those seats. Like they're just like fucking, they look like fold up chairs from a bingo hall in East Boston.
Okay. That's a good description.
What they look like.
Painted a good picture there.
Yeah. And the dugout only, the bullpen area only goes so far. So like if you're like one of the bullpen guys that's either new or you're a rookie, you're hanging out, basically just sitting in a chair on the field. You don't have like an overhang and you don't have a heater underneath you. So you're just kind of sitting there out in the breeze.
That whole place fits Dallas Braden perfectly. Like I wouldn't be surprised if he lives there. Like if he actually lives there and sleeps there every night.
Probably does.
Honestly, let's just say he does, because I'm pretty sure he does. We don't have the facts, but I'm pretty sure he does.
Yeah, he does.
So that's the craziest thing. Dallas Braden lives there.
He lives there.
And so it's like he knows every nook and cranny.
Yep.
And you literally this weekend stayed at his house.
Pretty much. And one of the coolest things was going out into left field and like playing catch with Dallas Braden, like in left field. The morning that was another fucking bizarre moment was, you know, playing catch with Dallas in left field, like playing like long toss from basically the left field foul line to dead center, just fucking chucking it.
Oh, because you got an arm.
Because I got a fucking hose, pal. Because okay. I got a cannon. The Saugus Rocket was out there in Oakland being like, hey, put me in, coach.
All right, continue.
Ready to play.
Yep.
Today, I can be center field.
All right, so, anyways.
That was the morning that Manaea threw the no hitter. So obviously, after the game, it's like, you know, we're all just like chilling in the hotel and sitting next to Dallas Braden, and then on TV they're showing fucking the Manaea no hitter highlights, and then showing Dallas's perfect game, and you're just like sitting next to this dude in the hotel, and you're just like, what is my life right now? To where after Manaea completed the no-hitter, we had field access. So he throws the no-hitter.
First guy interviewing him was Dallas Braden.
First guy interviewing him was Dallas, and then me and Jay Hay were out on the field.
Yeah.
So when they dumped the fucking the Gatorade and the bubble gum and all that shit, I went up and picked up a piece of bubble gum, put it in my mouth, and started chewing. I was like, "This fuck, I'm chewing on history, like, bitch."
My team just got no hit. I'm gonna at least get a piece of gum.
Yeah. I was like, "I'm gonna chew this fucking bubble gum."
Yeah. Right in your face, bitch.
And then there were some dudes that were behind the dugout, and they were like, "Yeah, we love Star 9, blah blah blah. Like, fuck the Red Sox, though." And I was like, buddy. And then he was asking me for a piece of gum. And I was like, say the Red Sox are the best team in baseball, and I'll give you this gum. And he's like, I'm not going to do it. I won't do it.
I mean, we're talking like double bubble.
Yeah.
We're talking 5 cents.
We're talking
gum.
We're blowing historical bubs over here. And I was like, I'll give you this piece of gum. All you have to do is say that the Red Sox are the best team in baseball. Like, I won't do it. And I was like, all right, well, I can't give you the gum. I'm sorry. It's a statistical fact. Like, you're not even saying something that's not true. Like, if you say it, it's just you're just stating the truth. I don't know why you're being so stubborn. And he wouldn't do it, but his buddy was a Red Sox fan. And he was like, yeah, dude, I've been following you since Sox Base. I was like, well, here's a piece of gum, pal.
Yeah, that's worthy of a piece of gum. I mean, the whole entire day, I honestly didn't get to see the whole game. We started watching like the sixth inning. We're like, is Manaea seriously throwing a no hitter against the Red Sox?
Oh, because the E6.
I mean, the Benintendi thing, without a no hitter on the line, they are 100% calling Andrew Benintendi safe on that play.
I mean, they did call him safe.
No, but I'm just saying.
I know. They would have left it there.
They would have left it there.
Yeah.
And I think that's some first class bullshit.
Well, the same thing with the fucking error. I mean, that was the fifth inning of a no hitter.
Yeah.
And, you know, he goes out and gets the glove on the ball, but you cannot assume that out.
No, you can't.
When you are converging left fielder, center fielder, shortstop, all in no man's land and shallow left center, that's nobody's ball. Like, that's just like that ball falls in 10 times or 9 times out of 10. He happened to get Simeon got a glove on it, but he dropped it because it was not an easy play. Should have been a hit, was called an error.
But at what point, this was my main question I had for you.
Yeah.
At what point were you like, this might happen.
When there is like two strikes in the ninth inning with two outs.
No, come on.
No, I really, in the ninth inning.
Going into the ninth, I started thinking, shit, I think it's going to go down. Granted, who do you have to go through in the ninth? Benintendi was the last out. Hanley was the last out, but Benintendi walked.
Yeah.
So he's going through some poppers there. Like, it's not like he's got an easy
ninth.
There's
like Mookie, Benny, Hanley.
Yeesh.
But didn't he? No, he walked one of them.
Benny.
Yeah.
Because Benny was the force out at second.
So what did he face? 8-9-1-2-3? No. 9-1-2-3?
I'm going to find out.
I don't know. Anyways, the Hanley Ramirez ground out. Did you see that to end it?
What, StatCast?
Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah, but it's a ground out. Yeah.
Hanley Ramirez's
ground out.
I'm sure Fights
would have loved it because it was really fast.
Yeah. Hanley Ramirez's ground out was the hardest hit ball of the game, and the hit probability on that ball was 50%.
But I want to live back before StatCast where it's like Hanley grounded out to end the game. That's what happened.
I'm not saying it should have been a hit. I'm just saying that's how close no-hitters can be.
Absolutely. And you need that. This is why I love and hate no-hitters, because you need little shit to go down. You kind of need the umps to be like, on a play like Benintendi, review it and say, he's out. You kind of need that shit to happen, or else I don't think you're going to throw a no-no. But I still like no-hitters. There are a lot of people chirping afterwards being like, whatever, like, it doesn't even matter. I'm like, no-hitters are cool, man.
No-hitters are cool. I mean, so that's what people were asking me that after the game. Like, oh, you know, were you excited to see it? It's like, no,
what, I'm not excited. Dumb question.
Or they asked me if I was like rooting for it in the ninth. Like, no, I wasn't rooting for it in the ninth. But after it happens, I mean, you're soaking in the moment. You're like, oh shit, I just saw a fucking no hitter. Like, that's pretty cool. A loss is a loss. And this is a thing. Like, I'm sure, like, Hubs and Frankie, like Frankie, fucking chirping me
out of nowhere.
And Hubs, it's like, dude, you're Yankee fans. You are 11-9. Your team is fucking trash. Trash team. The Red Sox are 17-4, and you're chirping the Red. Like, that's just pathetic. Yeah. If you're a Yankee fan chirping the Red Sox, the no hitter was great for the A's. It really doesn't do anything to the Red Sox at all. I mean, it's I don't want to say it's a fluke, because Manaea is a very good pitcher. Or at least he has shown to be at the start of this year. I mean, he had an ERA under 2 going into that game. That was his fifth start. He's got like a 1-2-3 ERA after that that no-hitter. It's a good pitcher. It's not a fluke that he was able to do that. And the other thing, too, is he was keeping the hitters off balance. He threw, what was it? He threw 5 changeups all year going into that start to lefties. And then he threw 15 of them in that no-hitter. So, I mean, he definitely took the Red Sox off their game. Tip of the cap to him. But it's just a loss for the Red Sox. It's not like, oh, God, they got no hit. It's the beginning of the end. They got no hit.
I mean, it's great fuel for those people that are like, sure, I saw this coming. But still, for the one thing that I think it does do, these guys can walk the walk all they want, and they can say the right things and act like, you know, we take things one game at a time. If I played for a team that started 17-2, I would feel like my shit don't stink.
Yeah.
So if I then get no hit by the A's, I think it
brings
does kind of
down to earth.
It brings
a little
bit. It back down to earth. So, yeah. And I'm not saying that as just a silver lining, but at the bare minimum, I think it reminds you that, you know, anything can happen on any night.
Yeah. And the lineup on Sunday was, I mean, people are probably going to, that's the thing. It's a catch 22. I like that Red Sox fans care so much. I really do. But
you get both sides of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's such an overreaction to be like, oh shit, they lost a series. They lost 2 out of 3 to the A's. Like, you know, the A's have a very good offense.
The guy that got you was their guy.
Yeah,
Davis is the guy there.
Yeah. I mean, like, that dude, I think, is either first or second in the majors since the start of 2016.
Not talked about nearly enough.
Yeah. Very good hitter, power hitter. So, yeah, I mean, shit happens. Mookie not in the lineup, Hanley not in the lineup. I mean, it was a day game after a 6-game West Coast trip, and you have the off day on Monday, you give a couple guys a breather, whatever. I mean, it is what it is.
It does still suck, especially for this podcast, that Price was right there, man. He was at
right
the
there.
Finish line.
His ERA had gotten under 2.
I know.
He was at, like, before, I think it was like the pitch before the home run to Davis, he was at like a 1.95.
Yeah.
If he just gets out of that inning, it's like, oh, wow, Chris Sale, David Price, and Rick Porcello all have ERAs under 2.
I got seamless at the worst time, and the guy called right when Jed Lowry was up in that inning. I'm like, fuck, I got to go get
fuck
the door.
What is Jed Lowry's deal?
He's the best player in the world.
I know, but like, how? I don't.
I offered my buddies this weekend $100 if they could tell me who has the most RBIs in Major League Baseball, and I gave them each 5 guesses, and no one came close, obviously, to Jed the Bat Lowry. Is what we had a fake nickname for Jed Lowry back in college. Back in 09, we called him Jed the Bat Lowry because it made no sense, because, like, occasionally he would have some big hits. He did have that walk-off in the ALDS for the Red Sox.
Yeah.
But, like, how the fuck does Jed Lowry have the most RBIs in baseball? That's
Jed
insane.
Lowry, not only does he have the most RBIs in baseball, he also has the most hits in the league. He's 34 years old. He's hitting .351 with an OPS north of 1,000. He leads the big leagues with 23 RBIs in 22 games. And he has 33 hits, which also leads the league.
It's insane. But getting back to my point, so I went downstairs to get the food, came back up, and, you know, Chris Davis is rounding the bases. It's like the one at-bat I miss, and it makes you want to, you know, just throw the food away at that point. But it just, that part sucks. That part really does suck. The Price is right there. He's ready to close that shit out. I understand it's the eighth inning, but I still feel like the Sox win that game if they get out of that jam. It kind of felt like one of those, like, okay, let's put a run up and win 2-1, get out of here with the series win. But no, I mean, Chris Davis, got to tip your cap. He's one of the best players in the game that does not get talked about.
Yeah.
He's better than Chris with a C.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that's a dumpster fire of a contract over there in Baltimore.
I know.
But yeah, I mean, you got beat by their best. It is what it is. It's you're not going to win every series, Red Sox fans. You're just not.
That is a fact. That is
it's
true.
It's a little bit of a humility check. Maybe humbles the Red Sox a little bit. Not that they needed it. Not that they needed to be humbled. It's, I mean, the fans, yeah. Like, I mean, we're a bunch of fucking assholes. We are assholes. That's what this show provides to you is the asshole perspective of Red Sox Nation.
Should be our motto.
I don't know what you expect us to, like, do you think that it would be entertaining for us to be humble?
No.
Do you think that's putting asses in the seats? It's like, oh, well, the Red Sox won again, 17-2 at the old ball yard. It's a very good baseball team. What say you, Steve?
I think the weather was delightful. I
yes,
think
of course.
A lot of people showed up and had a great time. You
a
know,
lot of
sometimes,
fun.
Sometimes, Jared, you only go to one game a year.
One game.
And if that was the game and you got to see a nice win and got a nice Fenway Frank or
a friendly
ballpark
Fenway.
Dog, oh, God, I can only hope you go back to your family and just have a big smile on your face.
Oh, but the parking is just so expensive, Steven. It's so expensive.
Oh, my goodness. You know what I do is I take the train. That's
oh, yes.
$3
the
to get me right at Fenway.
Oh, yes,
sometimes
the Green Line.
Get off at Kenmore.
Oh, yes.
And when I get off, I walk across the bridge and I see Fenway and
big Pappy Bridge.
Jared, it lights my face with joy.
Oh, yes, the memories of Grandpappy going to Fenway Park and taking us, the children. We would all go to Fenway and it would just be put smiles on all of our faces. But this year in particular is great because the baseball team, the old boys, the boys of summer, they're fantastic this year. 17-2. What a season.
The one thing that really makes my penis tingle is when I walk up the hall to go into Fenway Park. It gives me this joy that I cannot match with anything else.
Oh, the greens.
Jared.
The greens,
oh,
the grass.
Greens.
Oh, the monster.
Oh, the monster.
Oh, the fucking the hot dogs.
Imagine that for an entire hour. Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, like, what do you expect? Like,
what the fuck you expect? They lost the series, all right? Whatever.
They lost the series.
Grow up.
It happens.
Grow up. There were honestly people in the DMs. And shout out to the people that are leaving DMs. The DMs are on fire right now.
Yeah.
The DMs have never been more on fire.
Yeah.
And we had a handful that were like, guys, is it time to get worried about Cora?
Are you serious?
Yes.
I'm Why?
Like, do you have a gun that I can blow my
because
brains out?
Because of leaving Price in?
I don't... The people that do this with the manager, and we saw a lot of it with Farrell, and then a lot of people piggybacked on the people that said fire Farrell.
Yeah.
They'll just like say, they lost, so fuck the manager.
Yeah.
Ugh.
How could this guy not have foreseen this?
He should have seen they were going to potentially lose, and then he should have tried to make them win.
How ugly is Hubs?
Hubs is so ugly. I think he knows, though. He's well aware. Like, his hairline is just, like, cooking.
Yeah, he's in the window. He's waving, but
yeah.
I don't, again... Yankee fans are
such
the
a loser.
Biggest pathetic pieces of trash.
Yeah,
for gloating when you're in third place.
And I don't even entertain these tweets.
We called up fucking Gleyba, though. We got Gleyba. We got him. He's coming. Who gives a fuck?
There were went to Yankee Stadium on Saturday. Did a little recruiting. It was some good hate watching because it was Stroman versus the Yankees.
Yeah,
and there were people that. For some reason, recognized me from the podcast and just yelling out, like, you getting worried? I'm like, am I getting worried at the time your team's 9-9? Well, what are we worried about? What is there to worry about? And then my friend is saying, like, should we be rooting for the Yankees to win this game? Because the Jays are, what, 13-7 at the time?
Yeah.
No, you're the only team to be worried about is yourself. The Sox are 17-4.
Yeah. I'm not too worried about
it. Dude, 17-4.
Not worried about it.
Playoffs.
I mean, like I said, the season, the series win would have been nice to get out of there. It would have taken some of the stink off of the no-no because it's like,
well, especially,
yeah.
I mean, from your perspective, being out there, and I don't fully blame you for the no-hitter, but I just don't think the no-hitter happens if you're not out there. I don't know. It's just like kind of how the baseball gods work. They're like, oh, Jared's in Oakland. Let's have a no-hitter against the Red Sox.
I mean, I don't know if that's how it works. Dave tweeted something about like, oh, the curse of Carrabas, blah, blah, blah. I was like, dude, I was here Friday night and there was a huge comeback win.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that's how that works.
Probably not, but I mean, either way, it is what it is, and you got a series in Toronto now, and I'm so pissed they're not facing Stroman. But so anyway, still a couple things we need to touch up on from Jared Karrueche's trip to Oakland. You got to meet your boy Alex Cora. You met multiple of your quote unquote boys, right?
Yeah, a lot of
meeting boys.
Yeah, a lot of meeting boys.
That came across really well.
Yeah, met a lot of boys. I met Cora. I mean, he's just the fucking man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way he just kind of carries himself, the way he's standing, like, that's that dude right there.
Yeah, like, just, like, talking baseball with him. It's like, this is a fucking dude right here. Like, he, you know, I mean, they get no hit the night before. He's just relaxed as hell. He's like, you know, he's like, we got a good team. He's like, yeah, you get, you know, you fuck around, get no hit. It happens. I mean, like, that's the attitude that you need to have, though. Like, what are you supposed to do?
You get no hit.
You're supposed to, like, walk in the clubhouse and just flip over a fucking table, even though you have the best record in baseball. You have to laugh it off. You're going to be like, yeah, I mean, fuck, guys. Like, you couldn't get one.
But doesn't he seem like the perfect person for that? Like, he just seems like he has that mentality of, guys, we got no hit.
Yeah.
Who fucking cares?
And he's so smart, too, because, you know, we were talking about, like, prospects in different systems, and, like, this guy doesn't just know their names. Like, he's talking about their skill sets. He's talking about all kinds of shit from, like, these players that are up and coming. And, you know, he knows everything. Like, if you're a Red Sox fan, take my word for it. Alex Cora is one of the smartest dudes in baseball from just having a feel for it. And I know that you might be listening to this and be like, oh, if he had a feel for it, then he would have taken David Price out. It's like, David Price, like, that is hindsight.
I also had no issue with him staying in.
Me neither. He was fucking cruising.
Pitch count wasn't ridiculous.
No, it was under 100 pitches.
Yeah, that's a total hindsight thing. David it was
Price
fine to keep him in.
If David Price gives up the home run to Chris Davis, the 3-run home run, he was at like 109 pitches, then you'd be like, hey, maybe you should have had someone ready to go for that lefty-righty matchup. But you think that David Price gave up one run in the first inning, and now he's in the eighth inning about to finish off a masterpiece of an outing, and he's under 100 pitches, and Cora's going to be like, all right, give me the ball. David Price is going to be like, what the fuck? Yeah, in the middle of an inning when it's just, I don't know. I understand, like, yeah, there's a couple runners on, lefty-righty matchup. But David Price, as a veteran, you got to show faith in those guys. And the other thing, too, not really related to pitching, Cora's done an excellent job at rotating his bench guys in.
Yeah.
And I think the reason for that is because he was one.
That's true. He went through it his whole career.
Yeah. I mean, he knows what a bench player needs in terms of reps over the course of a week to stay sharp, to stay focused, to stay motivated, to feel appreciated. I mean, he's gotten Mitch Moreland in there way more than I thought he would have done that with J.D. Martinez in the fold, with Hanley Ramirez in the fold, both guys hitting the shit out of the ball. And then he gives these reps to Mitch Moreland, and he's hitting the shit out of the ball.
Yeah, and these guys all, when they're doing well, as a fan, you're almost thinking, oh, yeah, I've seen him do that a lot. Like, you almost are watching him not even thinking that he's been on the bench for that long.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't.
He hasn't.
He's been shuffled in and out. Even when Moreland went
Nunez
deep, I'm like, damn, that just felt normal, even though he hasn't been a full-time player.
Yeah, that's where Cora doesn't get credit is rotating these guys.
I still
kind of
think he does. If in a weird way, we're so stuck in like what Red Sox managers have done in the past.
Yeah,
this is what they should have been doing.
Farrell would never.
No,
Farrell would be like, Hanley's hot, so Hanley's going to be playing.
So he plays the next 162 games.
Yeah,
but that's look at it like what should have been done, not what was done. That being the norm. No. This should be the norm. Cora, what my biggest takeaway? What 21 games into the season?
Yeah.
Is that this is the perfect guy for this job. This is the right guy. You got the right guy.
The perfect guy. And, you know, especially with this group of guys being that there are going to be a lot of rotating pieces here. It's not just, someone's hurt, so this guy's getting playing time. It's like, no, you're going to have Hanley and Mitch in the fold for the entire year. And you have Brock Holt, and you have Eduardo Nunez, and you have Zhu Lin, and you're getting Dustin Pedroia back. It's only going to get more difficult for him to be able to rotate these guys in and out of his lineup. So I think he's done a fantastic job of getting guys a proper amount of playing time, enough to be able to stay sharp and to go out there and perform and not feel cold coming off the bench.
So you also got to meet a guy that has a huge penis?
Yeah, I did. Brian Johnson before, what was that, Saturday's game? You know, we met up. I mean, got to talk a little bit, so that was pretty cool.
There's one guy, though, that I'm thinking of that is known for having a big dick.
Yeah, me and Blake Swihart in the hallway, we were talking shop for a little bit. Just said, hey, what's up? What's going on? You know, because I've known Blake since he was a big shot big leaguer.
No one else comes to mind that has an enormous cock?
So I was walking around in the back, and Benny was doing the jump rope. And I was like, yo, what up, Benny? He's like, what's up, dude?
I see multiple ropes here.
Yeah.
All right, so that's it for your trip then.
And I was also walking by like the Red Sox training room, and our guy Jim Buchanan was running some wind sprints with like the trainer, where they have like the band around you, the resistance band, and you're supposed to run against it. You're just like running up and down the halls because the fucking Coliseum sucks.
Hubs,
this is
Hubs
the second
is,
time. That
this
Hubs
is the second time in the episode.
He's like, please have me on. Please have me on.
I'm just happy you're back. I just want to welcome you back to the
Thanks, Hubs.
That's fucking with Hubs. Thanks, Hubs.
Thanks, Hubs.
Jesus Christ. This kid is just begging for some airtime.
Yeah, not happening today, pal.
But that was it for your trip. No other memorable meetings.
I said what's up to Jackie, said what's up to Mookie.
What about Matty Knapsacks?
I don't think he saw me, or maybe he didn't.
He did one of those, I saw you, I'm going to act like I didn't see you, jobs.
I don't know. Because that's the thing, too, is that, like, if you're not looking for me, you wouldn't expect to see me in Oakland.
That's the last place I would expect you to
Correct.
See you. Yeah.
Yeah. Devers, does he speak English?
He could be one of those guys that does and chooses not to because it gets him out of some questions.
I don't know if he does.
Because even Cespedes, dude, like a couple weeks ago, he speaks pretty good English, but that's the first time he'd ever done it publicly.
Yeah.
So that's it?
So what's up to Porcello?
Okay.
That's the first time I've seen him since like winter weekend.
Yeah, Ricky Porchlights.
Yeah.
That was one of our favorite moments since doing the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the fucking man.
This
I think that's it, right?
You sure?
I think that's it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I know who you're talking about.
Who do you think I'm talking about?
I got to see Sean McAdam out there. I haven't seen him since we were doing the baseball show.
Sean McAdam.
We got to talk for a little bit. Also, I was talking to your girl.
You talked to Garen?
I talked to Garen.
Oh, my God.
I love her.
Okay.
She's so nice.
I know. She's great.
I don't know how you don't like her. She's very,
Dude,
very nice.
Like isn't the right word. Love is the word that comes to mind. I want to have Garen's... No, I'm not going to go there. So what... There's not...
She's
wait.
Nice.
What was that conversation like?
Me and Garen?
Yeah.
She asked me how I like New York.
Okay. Just typical bullshit?
Yeah. I was asking her how the job was going...
I think she's great.
Have you met her?
At Nesson, yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, like, if you met her, I think that your opinion would change because she's very nice.
Yeah, she's great. There's no one else? We're getting to the point where it's like you're talking about the bench coach at this point. Like,
I did talk to the bench coach.
Are you serious?
The team masseuse. Yeah. Who else was there?
I'm so... Because, guys, I mean... I know who he's not mentioning, and so I'm extremely confused as to why he's not mentioning this person.
I mean, the idea that I could meet someone of this stature and just not even talk about it, it's kind of a confusing process.
It's an extremely confusing process, Jared. Very similar to trying to find tickets to a sports or a concert
That's
online.
Right. Yes.
But we have the solution, and that is SeatGeek. If you listen to this podcast, you're well aware that
SeatGeek
are our boys. They have hooked you up with a hell of a promo code. And anyone that keeps asking, very simple, promo code, confusing process. Use that on SeatGeek and get $30 off Red Sox tickets through the end of April. You have to do this.
Have to do it.
If you're not doing this, you're
stupid.
A lot
of people have been doing it.
Oh, no. I mean, the numbers keep, you know, multiplying every week that we do this show. But, guys, I hate to break it to you. April's kind of running down. You got to get these damn tickets.
That's true.
Before it's too late. And
are you coming home this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going
to
the game Saturday.
What about Friday?
Well, I can go Friday, but I feel like you...
Do you want to go Friday?
Yeah, but don't you do the
Do you want to go Friday?
Yes, but don't you do the Yak?
I'm going home on Friday. If I'm going home for the Sox... I'm going this fucking Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Don't tease me with this bullshit. Don't say that we're gonna.
No.
Don't say Fenway Fridays are back if they're not actually back.
Fenway Fridays are back.
I'm gonna leave a dump at your door if this doesn't.
Steve, I already told Stephen Che, producer of the Evening Yak, that I am out for Friday. I'm going home. I'm going to Fenway Friday night.
Okay. This is on the record now. If this does not happen, I have the right to throw shit at Jared's face.
Damn sure.
So anyway, download SeatGeek. First time purchasers use the promo code Confusing Process to get $30 off Red Sox tickets until the end of April. Again, Confusing Process, $30 off Red Sox tickets until the end of April. That is a huge coupon, bitch.
Fenway Fridays are back.
Jared got to talk to JD Martinez.
They're back.
And he's the guy with the big cock. Maybe they all have huge dicks. How was the JD? Real quick, because you have a lot to get to. How was the JD convo?
No, he was fucking awesome. I was out there for batting practice, and he saw me. Oh, that I was talking to Gomes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like I was talking to Gomes, and he was telling me some stories about when he went to Japan.
Yeah, this right here, Jared, is what we call a fastball. This right here. He was probably just telling you all the basics.
Yeah, I was like, we need to have you back because these fucking stories are hilarious. I don't know how many like he wants to tell on the air, but the ones that you're telling are very funny.
He fits significantly better on this podcast than on the Red Sox podcast.
Correct. Well, I mean, I don't want to say that we're the reason why, but I mean, this was like the first media thing that he did once he became quote unquote retired.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, he's on the Red Sox broadcast. But he is far more entertaining on here than on a broadcast where they got to like be like, all right, well, you can't swear or be funny or do anything. Just don't do anything.
So basically just try to measure the size of the baseball and have Dave O'Brien be like, what is happening?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. We got to get Gomes back. He was fucking awesome. So yeah, I was talking to Gomes during batting practice, and then it was like JD was taking batting practice, and he saw me, did the point. We did the point at each other. We were like, you.
I know you.
Oh, you.
You, buddy.
You. And then after he was done, he came over and, he's just like.
You guys made out. And,
yeah. We just like groped each other.
Yeah. Just grabbed each other's asses. Yeah.
And a very fucking nice dude.
Gotta get him on here.
We will probably get him on here at some point. I think that'll be something that happens. And also, did you see who's been tweeting at me recently?
Oh, yeah.
That was crazy. Just out of nowhere.
What caused this?
I mean, he's probably boys with Dallas Braden because they played together with the A's.
Okay.
And he's a big Starting Nine guy. He follows, like, the Starting Nine social accounts. So.
Wait, who the hell are you talking about?
Josh Donaldson?
What? Wait, what?
Who did you think I was talking about?
I thought you were just talking about all your typical back and forth with Curt Schilling.
Oh, no. I didn't even.
Because those are vamping up for some reason.
I don't even know if I answered him. I think he was just like chirping me all day yesterday, and I was like fucking so busy.
He's like quote tweeting your shit. He's like drafting up all these. I'm like, Shill, what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't even know if I tweeted him back. I love you, Shill, but I was very busy yesterday. Sorry.
We're at the point now where Jared's like, oh, Curt Schilling. I'll get back to that. I'll get back to him.
Josh Donaldson. He falls Starting Nine. And I was saying this to Jay Hay. I was like, this is what we're missing out on is having these videos of me and Dallas just at each other's throat. Like, I am so, so rooting for a Red Sox A's ALCS this year. I'll even take a division series because the content that we would get out of that would be phenomenal because he wouldn't be on the broadcast. If it's national coverage for the postseason, he wouldn't be on the broadcast. So we could do shit from the stands. We could do shit like on the field. Like, I'm sure we could get access on the field in both stadiums. We'd fucking travel with the teams and shit. That would be fucking awesome. So Josh Donaldson saw like the videos of us that we did after every game, and he tweeted like, "I'm starting to feel bad for Jared." He's like, this is brutal. He's like Dallas is one of the best trash talkers in the game. I saw
he's
it firsthand.
Not. He just yells all the time. Like the stuff that, and I think Dallas has fit in well. I do, but if we're being completely honest, those videos, I'm like, how much longer is he going to yell? It, like,
I mean, he's
that's his style. I know his style
he's a
is
good
like
trash talker.
I don't know. It depends how you define a good trash talker. He just keeps going until he's run out of words.
I mean, that's why
a good trash rambler.
I wait for him to run out of breath, and then I just come in at the end and make a valid point.
I know. But that's why I don't think that he's a great trash talker, because you're just sitting there with a valid point that I think is going to be more valid than yelling for 20 minutes straight.
Yeah, but that's what gets under people's skin, is that he just keeps going and going and going and digging and digging and digging. So Donaldson saw these videos, and someone tweeted him being like, oh, you got to get him on the podcast. And then he was like, all they got to do is ask. So I slid in those DMs. I was like, hey, you trying to come on this podcast?
I'm trying to get that ass.
He was like, yeah, I am. So,
and then that's how that works.
Yeah, so I think we're going to have Josh Donaldson on Starting Nine at some point, and it'll be very fun.
Yeah, of all the people, of all the players in baseball that I've, if you just took the jersey off and you just watched them play for a generic team,
yeah,
you'd be like, oh, that guy, Josh yeah. Donaldson, he hacks the shit out of the ball. One thing real quick before we get into what you listeners said you wanted for guests this season, what do you think John Farrell's thinking right now? And specifically after the Sox started 17-2, what do you think when John Farrell was just, because I'll always think about this like randomly. I'll be like, oh, what do you think? Where is that person right? Kind of like Pokey Reese. Where is that guy? Like, yeah. What is John Farrell thinking after his club that's not that much different? I know J.D. Martinez and all that is started 17-2.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like the answer that people probably want is that he's like, oh, fuck, what the fuck? I think he just is comfortable with it because he knows that this group didn't respond to his ways. Like, that 13 team was more of a veteran team.
Yeah.
That worked with that group, but his ways, his methods do not work with this younger group. Like, he knew that his style and his way of managing a baseball team, or managing a clubhouse, rather, just didn't work for this young group. And Cora's ways, they work perfectly.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a fucking guy. Like, Cora still, I mean, obviously was a player, but he still feels like a player. But it's also, you trust him because he's so smart and he does his research, where when he's around, he's like one of the boys. Like, you can go up to him, you can dick around with him. But at the end of the day, it's like, if you have a question about something, you know that you can go to him and he's going to have the answer to that question.
Yeah, Farrell is for sure not the guy that's going to be like, hey, my guy, you know, in the hallway. Yeah, they're like, oh, shit, like, I'm going to walk the other way. That's John Farrell.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in a weird way, something we don't talk about with Farrell is
His penis.
Right. And it's not as big as you know. So one thing we don't mention with him is, like, yeah, he got fired, but that doesn't mean that he's, like, very upset that he got fired.
Yeah.
Like, he can – the amount of relaxation that he's probably been able to experience in the last, like, 6 months, like, wow, I can just kind of go do it. I can go grab a sandwich.
I can go grab Jess Moran's booty.
I can go grab a booty, and there was no problem with that. Hey, Jay, how you doing?
Hey, Jay, slapping that ass.
Hey, I see we're both maybe unemployed. But, no, that's something where we don't really talk about how – it's a major relief for John Farrell to not have to deal with this shit anymore.
And
so,
I think he's, I mean, we talk about his intelligence, and we've done that a lot, but I think he's smart enough to know that he wasn't a fit for this group.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you're a failure as a manager, because he managed the Red Sox to a World Series in 2013, but that 2013 group was just vastly different than the group that's in that 2018 Red Sox clubhouse.
And
so,
Farrell knows he has other baseball opportunities. I mean, he's on Baseball Tonight. Yeah. He's a scout for the Reds. Like, I'm sure they might – have they hired a permanent manager yet or no?
The Reds?
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
I think
just
so.
An interim.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, I'm sure his name will come up for that. So, I mean, Farrell's fine. I initially was like, he's probably sitting there thinking, like, fuck me. But he probably isn't, actually.
He could just be like, this makes perfect sense.
Yeah, this adds up. It's the right fit they needed,
yeah,
and good for them.
Fucking kids need someone they can just goof around with.
That's probably exactly what he's thinking.
Fucking kids.
One thing we wanted to get to real quick was the reaction from you listeners on what Red Sox players you want on this podcast this season.
Yeah.
I added all the responses up. We got a top 10.
We have a top 10.
We have a top 10. Coming in
at... Trot Nixon was number one, wasn't he? I didn't see your thing. I just read the responses. I'm just saying I'm surprised to see we got Trot Nixon a lot.
I know. I'm just saying you just correctly predicted number one.
Okay.
At number 10, we had Mark Bellhorn, the horn, as Coley would say. And people asked him, like, wait, where's Coley? Coley's going to be on Wednesday. He had to do some mixtape stuff, so just let the kid live. At number 9, we got Bill Miller. What do you think Bill Miller's up to?
It's basically just like the fucking 04 lineup. This is like what people want.
I mean, no, we got a couple others sprinkled in here. I mean...
Is Kevin Millar on this list?
Half of them are 04. We're getting down
is
here.
Is Millar on the list?
Number 8, we got Josh Beckett.
So Millar's not on the list.
At number 7, we have Mike Timlin.
Okay.
Number 6 is Keith Folk.
Okay.
Which actually I think is very gettable. He's a presence on
I've
Twitter.
I've asked him a bunch. He follows me and we've DM'd a bunch.
Is he lazy about it or something? Like, what's the deal?
Like, anytime that we've messaged, like, he'll answer unless I ask him to come on the podcast. Ugh, like, I've been asking him for like 3 years. And he said he would do it. And then it's just like a matter of like when you follow up with him, you get
We're not asking much, man. It's really like a phone call. Yeah. Like, you could be on your couch. You could be naked doing this thing.
Yeah.
At number 5, we have Mike Napoli, which is like, he would be great. Ooh. And our thoughts of Mike, he just got hurt recently.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
But hopefully he makes a full recovery.
That would be a wild interview.
At number 4, Mo Vaughn. Relax. The second you brought that up, I was like, I'm going to have to be Jared's mom right now. Oh, enough. Enough. Not on the air. And not that you sound like that, Ellen. But at number 4, Mo Vaughn.
Mo Vaughn, that'd be a good one.
I remember going to Mo's Night Out, charity event he used to have. Yeah. And that was one of the best nights of my 8-year-old life. Yeah, number 3, Kevin Millar.
Yeah, okay.
Kevin Millar, number 3.
We can do that. He followed me. So
yeah.
We got the connection now.
Number 2, which might be the number 1 one
Hold
that
on.
I wanted. Oh, yeah. What?
I want to guess it.
Okay, so there's you got number 1. Who do you think is number 2? This is someone that I might want the most. And by the way,
David Ortiz.
As weird as this sounds,
is David Ortiz not on the top 10?
As weird as this sounds,
yeah.
The reason that Ortiz and Nomar aren't on here is because we kind of asked for like not the obvious. Remember when you said not the obvious players?
Yeah.
We said like, guys, we're gonna go for Papi and Nomar. Don't send those in.
Yeah.
So don't think it's weird that they're not on here. Like those are, they're almost above this list.
Yeah. I mean, those are just obvious.
So Ortiz and Nomar are not on there because it's just obvious and they're above it. We asked for more the people that you might not think of immediately.
Yeah.
This guy, very well known in the Boston area, and he's a pretty big name.
Oh.
And we love him.
Oh.
That's a face that doesn't know.
Lil Wayne.
No. Dennis Eckersley.
Oh.
So Eckersley came in at 2.
Okay.
Which is like, Eck would be so...
That'd be great.
I'm pretty sure he'd be great, but I think the...
He would definitely do it, too.
Yeah. And then number 1, we got Trot Nixon. Every time I looked in,
that
it was Trot Nixon.
Wild that Trot Nixon is number 1 on this list.
Yeah.
Like, what has Trot Nixon done since he retired that everyone's like, I gotta hear more about that.
Like, I look...
Like, what is... I don't think he's done anything.
Dude,
he's like, pizza? He coached, like, a softball team. Didn't he coach his daughter's high school
Trot Nixon,
team?
And shout out Trot Nixon. He's one of my favorite players that they've had.
I love Trot
he's
Nixon.
He's done nothing notable since he retired.
Nothing. Like, Euclid's, like, started a business. Like, Veritech
even
has,
Mo
like...
Even Mo Vaughn had his, like, clothing line that he was still doing.
Yeah, like, Veritech is, like, doing... They got, like, the coaching job.
Millar's
like,
on TV.
Yeah, Millar's on TV. Bronson Royal's got, like, his music that he does. Trot Nixon, like, I mean, I guess we could talk to him both.
But
like,
maybe that's why, because we'd be like, what the hell is Trot Nixon doing?
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely a reason why you'd want to hear from the guy. I'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but that's the top 10 Red Sox players you want besides
that's
going
to be my first
ones.
Question to him. Trot Nixon, like, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
What the fuck, dude?
Side boob or under boob, also, what the fuck?
What the fuck? Where the fuck you been, dude? You don't call, you don't text.
You got some questions to answer, Trot Nixon. Let's sit down.
I feel like Eckersley would be a great one to have in the office.
Yes. That's a good point. When you look at that list, who's the top guy you want in the office?
Yeah.
Josh Beckett would be maybe good for content, or he'd probably be a dickhead.
When the Red Sox are here in May.
Early May.
You should, like, call out sick. So that we can just, like, bang out a bunch of... Like, we can probably get a bunch of them in here.
Yeah.
But, like, we should just, like...
Just the whole entire deck.
Yeah, just, like, the fucking 40-man roster. Just roll them in here all day.
I mean, yeah. If we can actually line it up where we get at least a handful, we can sprinkle those out. You know, sprinkle dues.
A little sprinkly dues.
Kind of throughout the season.
Sprinky dues.
To your point, Jerry, we do have some DMs.
I don't think I said anything about DMs.
No, I know we had to cut it, but you were like, why the fuck the DMs? I was like, relax, we'll get to it. So we do have DMs.
You think that I said something about having DMs?
Yes, you had mentioned it and you yelled it, and I was like, dude, it's too early in the show. It was like 5 minutes in. We do have DMs.
Direct messages.
Yep, Twitter. I'm still looking at the IG ones, but just send them to Twitter. I keep telling you, stop doing Instagram.
Do we ever get any nudes in the DMs?
Sometimes, yeah, and with the hashtag #WinTitsRepeat.
We do get nudes?
Rarely, but it's happened.
I feel like we should set up like a Section 10 Snapchat for boobies.
The handle's just #WinTitsRepeat. It's like, you know where to send it.
Section 10 boobs. Follow us on Snapchat at Section 10 Boobs.
This almost sounds like this could work.
I mean, yeah.
So by next week, we might have a Snapchat that's Section 10 Boobs.
Section 10 Boobs. Snap them. Just snap them off.
Only if they win, though. Only if they win.
Yeah,
we got to earn it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, we got to earn it from other people winning a baseball game. That's how we have to earn it. We do have DMs, though.
Who are they from?
They're from people, from humans.
How many people?
A lot of them, but we're not going to have a lot of time for many of them, so we have to do about two or three.
All right. All right. Well, let's see them.
We got some DMs.
Let's fire them off then.
Jared, there's a thing that you have to say before I can officially do it. It's in the contract.
I think it's something like, present the DMs. Right?
Nope. You've done it many times before.
All right, ready?
Yep.
Give me those direct messages.
No. It's a completely different phrase than those two.
Read the questions.
These are not, this is not the phrase. You know it. I know you know it. You've said it many times. People listening have heard it many times. Just say the phrase, and then we can go.
Share the listening questions. Read them off, Steve.
There's a phrase that you say.
Down in the DM, bitch!
It goes down in the DM. It go down in the DM. It go down, it go down. It goes down in the DM. It go down. It go down in the DM. It go down, it go down.
Down in the DM. As always, brought to you by Ronald's Napkins. They clean your fucking face. This is a very important one, Jared.
Okay.
We play a role in this.
We do.
Comes in from Joe.
Hey, Joe.
He goes, hey guys, I'm looking to do a Red Sox theme promposal and can't think of anything that would be original and unique to the Red Sox. Is there any chance the Section 10 boys could help me out? If so, the girl's name is Olivia. Hashtag gold bottles. Hashtag win tits repeat.
Oh, damn. Olivia. Hey, Olivia.
Where do we start with Joe?
Olivia, what's up, girl? Listen. I heard you ain't got a date to prom. So you know what?
Yeah,
what's his name?
Joe.
Hey, Olivia. Listen up, girl. I heard you ain't got a date to prom. I heard Joe ain't got a date to prom either. Why don't you go get a nice red dress? Maybe a blue dress? Joe's probably going to get himself a nice tux. Maybe one of them, like a navy blue bow ties?
Yeah, bow ties.
Are we doing bow ties?
Yeah, doing bow ties.
Are we doing bow ties?
If I know Joe like I think I know
I
Joe.
I know Joe.
He's doing a bow tie.
He loves the bow tie.
Remember that time we were like, Joey Bow Ties? That's your new nickname.
Yeah. So Olivia. Listen up, girl. Will you go to prom with Joe? Please.
All right, give her a second to reply.
All right, we'll wait. Hold on.
We knew it, right?
Oh, wow.
We knew it.
Joe, you
Joe,
nailed
you
it.
Joe. You dog.
The man, Joe. Joey's going to prom with Olivia. And there's no one happier than me. What a couple. What a couple of kids, couple of crazy kids just going off to prom. Wow, Joey Bowties.
You love to see it.
Locking down Olivia for prom.
And that's what we do here, you know? We lock relationships and lock proms down. Oh, so yeah. Just let us know. Joe, you're welcome. Joe. I'm not going to say you owe us.
Yeah,
but
you don't owe us anything. It was out of the kindness of our own heart. We believe in love, and you and Olivia, wow, this is something special.
And real quick, here. Joe, just pause it right here or stop listening right here.
Yeah.
Olivia, how you doing? Olivia. Hi. How you been?
I mean, hey, Olivia. Joe's a good kid. I know Joe, and he's going
to
be the best.
Shout out to you guys. Shout out to Joe and Olivia. Yeah. Hopefully, give us some feedback.
These two lovebirds.
Yeah. Go back in the DMs. Let us know how it went.
Yeah, let us know how prom went. When is prom? Can we come?
Yeah, can we escort you guys there? That would be hilarious. Welcome to prom, Joe and Olivia. We walk in like boom, boom, boom. We can bring the party, man.
That'd be pretty dope.
Absolutely. Shout out to you, lovebirds. Next one comes in from Anthony.
He goes,
hey, fellas, are there any plans to get an updated intro with Coley and Fight's name instead of Petey Pumpkins?
Yes. So the Fenway Park PA announcer is Henry Mahegan. I texted him last week and asked if he could do it, and he's sick. So when he's not sick, he's going to record it for us. So soon.
Yeah. It hurts me every time I have to leave Pete's name in the intro.
Yeah.
Josh. He goes, hey, guys, knowing losing two in a row is really fucking tough, but Giancarlo Stanton is hitting 185 with 32 strikeouts. So we've got that going for us. Josh, it's true. Giancarlo still sucks. He's still getting booed at Yankee Stadium every game.
I think that's because he sucks.
Yeah. No, I was thinking, why would fans that know baseball boo a player? It's because he sucks.
Yeah. He sucks.
Would you boo a guy that's good?
Nope. That doesn't make sense.
No. So they boo Giancarlo because he sucks.
Because he sucks. Not good at baseball, which is definitely what they pay him.
To be good.
Yeah, yeah.
So this comes in from Jake. He goes, I saw CeCe Sabathia. Jake. At a baseball field near me, and I was going to ask for his autograph, and the thing was that I was wearing a Red Sox jersey. Uh-huh. I went over to ask for an autograph, and he wouldn't sign it because I was in a Red Sox jersey. Do you think he's an asshole for not giving me an autograph in Red Sox gear?
No.
No, I'm actually fine with this.
Yeah, if I was wearing a Red Sox shirt. Well, first of all, I would never ask a Yankee player for. I wouldn't ask a baseball player for an autograph.
It's almost kind
of
and thanks for the DM, Jake. But it's kind of on you that you even asked, decked out in Red Sox stuff.
Yeah.
What do you think was going to happen, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, I respect that Sabathia did that,
and Sabathia's got a little, he's got some dick in him, so.
I'm sorry, what? What did you say?
That was not how that was supposed to come out.
I'm sorry, what was that? What did you say about Sabathia? I missed that last part.
When you're trying to say that someone can be a dick, never say that they have some dick in them.
Yeah, he's got some dicks in him.
Dude, he wasn't gonna see it when you try to get his autograph. He had some dick in him.
Yeah, he just had a bunch of dicks in him. I couldn't get to him.
Jake, I'm so sorry. We're moving on. This comes from Kelly. Kelly's a girl.
Hey, what's up, Kelly, baby?
Kelly, how you doing?
What's up, girl? How are you
ladies
doing?
Tees. Speaking of ladies' tees, we got to restock the ladies' tees.
Yeah, we...
Kelly, I'll do it for you. She goes, hey, guys, have you ever considered doing a live play-by-play during a Red Sox game? I love Dave and Remy, but think if you guys did your own broadcast of a game, it would be hilarious.
Yeah, that would be very funny. I don't know how we would do it, I guess.
I mean, maybe similar to how Prez and, Tommy Smokes did
Periscope?
It here. Maybe. I don't know. But I honestly think what would come of this is we'd be great for like three innings and then realize, wow, we have six innings left.
Yeah. Like, baseball games are long.
I think we go to like take a piss break and be like, yeesh, we got to do this two more times over in the next 2 hours.
Yeah, that would.
So maybe we'll just call the first like three innings of a game and then be like,
all right. The first three and the last three?
Yeah, first three and like the ninth.
I don't know. I mean, like, we could definitely do it for like a big game. It's tough to just do, you know, Red Sox Rays on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
But if we did like a Red Sox Yankee game, like, that could be very, very entertaining.
That is true. For now, that's all we have for the DMs. As always, down in the DM, brought to you by Ronald's Napkins. They clean your fucking face. For Wednesday, when Coley's back, we will do the Red Sox lottery. So we'll have him in here when we do that. Gonna empty the bench real quick. Catherine Veritek.
Oh, yeah.
Fan of the program, says that, in her words, she is going to host a podcast live from the Captain's Man Cave in their new house this fall, right before the Red Sox head to the World Series. Catherine is one of the nicest people we've met in the Red Sox world, and this was a really cool gesture. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah. So apparently, we're going to get to interview Jason Veritek like in his living room.
Yeah. I mean, if we're being honest,
Catherine, like, Catherine should definitely be on too. She's very, very, very entertaining.
Hilarious. And this is nothing against Jason, but she will probably be even better than Jason. Just from like an entertainment standpoint.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. Like, I didn't want to be saying something that was out of line.
No. Like, the zingers are not coming from Tech. That's
yes,
for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. He'll be way more professional, Catherine's awesome.
The quote cards are definitely coming from Catherine.
Yes.
That's for Catherine, damn
sure. Quote card machine. Yeah. The Section 10 map is on fire right now.
Yeah.
We're up to 14 of the 30 parks. Submissions are flying in from all over the country.
Yeah,
so.
I saw Big Titty Molly checked off.
Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Big Titty Molly. We checked off Oakland, and there was one more, like, in the last couple days.
The Braves.
Oh.
SunTrust.
Yes.
The new Braves one.
So
yeah.
What are we up to now, like 15?
14.
14.
14 to 30. So they are flying in to completely change tone here. Yeah. Avicii dying was brutal, man. Like, I know, like, anyone dying is brutal, but, like, that just, like, caught me way off guard. And then I checked Spotify, and I was like, this guy has a bunch of jams. Like, I used him for montages. We've had him on the show to close before. I've not had him on the show, but I'm saying I've used his music to close all the time. Do you have any thoughts on Avicii passing?
Nope.
Update on if Lil Wayne is coming to the podcast? None yet. We haven't heard from him, but we fully expect to hear from him.
I mean, I think that this should be one of the things that we do where we actively pursue him until it becomes a thing.
Yes.
Like, the listeners need to tweet at him.
This needs to be a group effort. You guys are going to lead.
Kind of like how J.J. Watt became a thing for Pardon My Take.
This is our thing.
That's like that's a big guess. Arguably, I don't know if it's their biggest, but one of their biggest. If everyone just tweets at Lil Wayne all the time, come on Section 10, and Section 10 is actively trying to recruit him on the podcast, why not?
So that's the homework assignment. I know we've been giving him out, and you guys have been doing it. I mean, the forever homework assignment is tag us along with tagging Lil Wayne and be like, just go on the show. They love you. You love the Sox. It's a perfect fit. And we're not asking for much, like 15, 20 minutes. So speaking of homework assignments, you guys killed the homework assignment in Anaheim, shushing the hell out of Shohei Ohtani to the point where he went 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts.
Yeah, he did.
So the dude absolutely sucked, but you made sure it was as quiet as possible.
Which is what he needed to perform. It just didn't work out this time.
Yeah. It's one of those where, like, I do really well when it's quiet, mm-hmm. and by really well, I mean 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts.
Right.
And lastly, Westworld is back, and I love Westworld, even though half the time I'm confused. Do you watch Westworld, and if not, do you have a go-to show, Jared?
I watched parts of the first season because I would go over to my buddy's house and it was on like after like the football games.
Okay.
So I watched it during football season. It was very confusing. Very confusing show.
Almost as confusing as trying to find tickets to a sports or concert.
Right. Which, by the way, SeatGeek, if you use the promo code ConfusingProcess, you get $30 off Red Sox games in April. Did you know that?
Yeah, it's true. If you use download the SeatGeek app.
SeatGeek
app.
Yeah, I don't really have a show that I actively watch now. I watch, actually, that show Unsolved about the Biggie Tupac murders.
Oh, I heard it was good.
It's very good.
Yeah.
I'll
give it a peek.
Yeah, I've been watching that show, but that's pretty much it.
Not cool.
Like, Breaking Bad was my show.
I don't think anything's going to touch that for me. I mean, The Office is my favorite of all time. Breaking Bad for a thinker, for like a dive into it show.
Yeah.
Was amazing.
Like, I've watched Breaking Bad four times in its entirety.
It ended at the right time. Don't do another season. Just do five. Yeah, that's all we got.
That's all we got.
That's all we got.
Okay. If you're listening to this, you might be a Red Sox fan. My message to you, don't freak out. Don't freak out. It's April, okay? They lose one series. Not a big deal. They go into Toronto. They get Bogaerts back on Friday. They just don't want him to play on turf. You get Bogaerts back. You get Pedroia back. You get Thornburg back. This team. Think about it. Are you thinking right now, Steve?
I'm thinking, yeah.
If you think about it, this Red Sox team is only going to get better. This Red Sox team is only going to get better.
Wouldn't want to cut you.
Thanks for listening.
That was pretty brutal. I think that was one that, like, in college, I know you did night classes, it didn't really count, but, like, we'd be banging Avicii all the time.
That's the second time you've done that this show.
What? What'd I do? Oh, banging too? Oh, God. Yeah, that is bad.
We just be banging him all the time.
That is terrible. But no, we'd be jamming to Avicii all the time. Yeah, it's got to be quick, though.
Yeah.
It's got to be quick. Got to be quick. What's up?
I mean, I think it's safe to say that the Red Sox might never win again.
That's a good point, Andrew. Thanks for setting everything up.
You guys have a good show.
All right, take it easy, man. Are we actually rolling?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you're actually.
All right. You're have a good one.
Hopefully you guys have a better show than Jared's weekend.
Hello, podcast?
Yes, this is podcast.
Podcast.
Do you want to do it?
You want to do it?
When I was 16, my father said, you can do anything you want with your life. You just have to be willing to work hard to get it. That's when I decided, when I die, I want to be remembered for the life I lived, not the money I made.
Once upon a younger year, when all our shadows disappeared, the animals inside came out to play. Went face to face with all our fears, learned our lessons through the tears, made memories we knew would never fade. One day my father, he told me, son, don't let it slip away. He took me in his arms, I heard him say, when you get older, your wild heart will live for younger days. Think of me if ever you're afraid. He said one day you'll leave this world behind, so live a life you will remember. My father told me when I was just a child, these are the nights to never die. My father told me. Shining stars. He said, go venture far beyond the shores. Don't forsake this life of yours. I'll guide you home no matter where you are. One day my father, he told me, son, don't let it slip away. When I was just a kid, I heard him say,